chapter 11. And 11 has some difficult things going on in it. And 11 is, it's a harder chapter. So I wanted to back up and ask, open the discussion today, with a discussion on the temple. Because we're going to hit some temple things today.
Is that new?
Sorry, what?
Is that new?
Oh, it is. We're going to hit the temple today, and with that, if we don't have a good understanding of the temple, we probably are going to miss the meaning of what today's talking about. So let's go through just your understanding of what the temple is. Why is the temple important? There are different interpretations based on your understanding here, and I'll try to go through at least represent each of those briefly, and then we'll talk about what this measuring of the temple has to do in chapter 11. All right, so what is the temple?
Isn't the temple a symbolic representation of Christ himself?
It is, yes.
Well, the place where God meets man.
There's a reason for that. So I'm going to come back to that. Go ahead.
The place where God meets man.
All right, yeah. Temple's the place where heaven and earth meet, if you will. There's a good video on Bible Project about where heaven and earth meet. I considered showing that this morning, and depending on our time, I still may. It's the place where the Lord meets his people. And when did we see the temple or the first beginnings of the temple in the Old Testament?
When Jacob.
What?
When Jacob?
Solomon.
Jacob?
When he
Solomon.
He took his son to he built an altar, didn't he? I mean, that's kind of the same thing.
Didn't they have like a tent, temple? They would take
tabernacle. They did.
All right.
Wanted to build the temple, but
that's right. So beginning back in Moses, they had the traveling tent of meeting in Exodus. You got something, Dixie?
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I was thinking about, his face.
All right. Even if you go back and you go from Jason's perspective, which I like, it even starts in the garden. That's where God met man first. Do you remember? The Lord and Adam and Eve had fellowship together in the garden. They were kicked out of the garden. And then you have Abraham and the rest of Genesis. But then you have this tabernacle, this tent of meeting that traveled around. And that's where Moses would go to meet how? What's the Bible say?
The smoke or the...
Face to face. Yep, they would meet face to face with the Lord. And sometimes he would go there and get a word from the Lord on decisions and then speak to the people, and his face would be glowing, they would say at times. And then he would go up on the mountain and meet with the Lord. Well, then we have this traveling tabernacle, if you will, throughout the Exodus and the wanderings and all of that. And then somebody said David wanted to build the temple because it was Solomon ended up doing it because David, why? You remember?
David sinned.
Too much blood was shed by David. Too much blood was shed, he said. So Solomon, his son, comes and builds the temple. And that's a national symbol, if nothing else. It's a place where everybody comes once a year. They have their yearly Day of Atonement and times in which people think of this temple. And it was a glorious place. It was beautiful. And remember when Solomon dedicated it, the cloud of the Lord came and rested in the temple. And they said it was so thick they couldn't even go in. But it was a magnificent place. And it was just a magnificent place, a wondrous place where people would come. Well, then...
It was also part where they had the Ark of the Covenant.
That's right. Now, remember, the middle of this... Or not the middle, but the central point of this temple and even the tabernacle was a place called the most holy place. The Holy of Holies, we call it the most holy place. And it was figured as, do you remember, anybody know what it looked like? What shape it was?
A little square.
It was a cube. was a square, but it was a cube also.
With the curtains on.
Now that's going to be significant later when we get into the later chapters of Revelation, because you're going to see this cube show up, and you'll get to see that later, and it's foreshadowing. But in the middle of the temple, in the middle of the tabernacle, this traveling tent was a cube, and it was the holy place where Jimmy says the Ark of the Covenant was. And the Ark of the Covenant represented, remember, the mercy seat on top where the cherubim's wings, they were pointed in together. Right. And right there, it said, is where the presence of God was, right there on the mercy seat. And that's where the blood would be shed, and we'd throw the blood on once a year. Very special place. But the main point I want us to think about this morning is this is the place where God met his people. The presence of God met his people. And it was a place of holiness, a place of a lot of rules. And because it wasn't a willy-nilly place where you could go in and see God like a spectacle. But it was a place where you could go in and have fellowship with God. At least the priest could on your behalf and on behalf of the nation.
And it's all Old Testament, though.
All Old Testament, yeah. All Old Testament. So that's where we're...
Make sure.
This is all Old Covenant. There is no temple now.
Jesus made the temple for the new covenant.
And that's a huge part of the new covenant, is that Jesus replaces all of this. Okay? He's the new... And the church is the new temple of God. In fact, I have a couple of verses I'll read you today where the church is the new temple of God. Yes?
Something stands out to me, though, is the ark was the first housing of the word of God.
Yes.
It has the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
That's one of those things that has its most staff in the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
Both versions, the cracked version and the uncracked version.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that's how much he held his word up. It meant that much that... which I think we had read into it about the head running on the side of the ark because you wasn't supposed to touch the ark.
That's right.
The ark, you'd die instantly. So.
That's right. They carried it with poles, so you couldn't. Until it got to the temple.
Closed.
What?
When you open it, you gotta keep your eyes closed.
Yeah, that's at least Harrison Ford found that out, right? I remember watching that in the movie theater. I was a kid. I don't know what year it came out, but I was a kid. And that haunted me for a lot of times, opening the Ark of the Covenant, and whoa, little ghosties coming out. I'm like, oh no, no. I remember burying my head in my hands during that part of the movie.
Souls of the Saints.
Man. What year did that movie come out? Man, it was like 80.
I was in God's mind at that.
I could not have been very old. All right. Anyway,
we are also young.
Thank you for distracting us. But that's the presence of God. There is no ark anymore. And 81. So I was 5. I should not have been in a rated R movie at 5. Why was I there? My parents. I'm going to have to ask them about it. They're coming in town. Raiders of the Lost Ark? No, they didn't have PG-13 back then. I'm telling you. So, Jason, help me out.
But even if it was PG-13, why were you still there?
Raiders of the Lost Ark was R. It's true. I'm telling you. It couldn't have been a PG movie. They like pulled the heart out of a man's chest. That was not a PG movie.
That was like the third one that did that.
Yeah,
that wasn't the first one.
That wasn't the first one?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
PG.
Second one.
Parental guidance.
Second or third,
yeah. Okay. I won't be so mad at my parents.
The third one was long hours and bored.
There was some stuff in some PG movies, I can tell you that. I saw way more than I needed to see watching PG movies. All right. What are we talking about anyway?
The Ark of the Covenant.
Okay. Temple and Ark. God meets his people. Now, we know that there are... How many temples have there been?
Three.
Survey says?
I have to go dig in.
Two temple buildings. Yes, two temple buildings. There was Solomon's temple.
And the one they rebuilt.
And then there was Herod's temple. Only been two.
So you don't count the traveling?
Tabernacle?
Yeah.
That is the tabernacle. not the temple. So we kind of, they functioned with the same purpose, but they were named different. The traveling one was called the tabernacle. And they graduated. It was tents of meeting,
right.
Tabernacle, temple. Okay, so that's what we have. There were two, brick temples. And some people think there will be a third. However, it will take a lot of work because right there where the temple is supposed to be is what?
A mosque, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Dome of the Rock. Is that what they call it? Dome of the Rock. Muslim holy place there. So it's going to be...
That's where they say Muhammad
lifted off to heaven.
They do have the Wailing Wall, but if the temple is going to be rebuilt, there is going to be a big time war before that happens, or something massive is going to have to happen. But that is where we are. There have been two. Some people think there'll be a three. And some people do say that this measuring of the temple proves that there will be a third temple. So some interpretations say that this will be rebuilt. And then when Jesus comes back, there will be a reinstitution of temple sacrifices among the Jews. And that will be something that will be.
I'm throwing you off track, but I can keep talking about temple.
Yep.
The temple when they say that your body is a temple of the living God.
That's right. And so Paul takes that. And not only does Paul take that, but Peter takes this this motif of temple, and he says it's more than just a building.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's important for us to understand that the New Testament apostles very much pointed to you and I being a temple and the body of believers coming together as a temple. And so let's look at some passages of Scripture with that, and we'll look at that in the New Testament passages. Let's see. We'll go ahead and read those. I'm going to skip through Zechariah and Ezekiel for a moment.
Just a point that comes to mind. Temple sacrifice and stuff coming back, that would seem to negate the work of Christ.
I find that odd, personally.
Yeah, it's almost kind
of... It's going backwards, it seems, because the whole purpose of Jesus coming is to initiate the new covenant and to show that the old covenant is fulfilled. I do find it odd to say that we're going to go back to old covenant stuff when it's been fulfilled and replaced with the new covenant and with Jesus. So that's one of the things that has led me away from that belief is I couldn't understand why that would be reinstituted. And maybe there are some good explanations, but I haven't found one yet for my personal liking. But here is the New Testament understanding on Ephesians. And, I thought I included another one. Ephesians 2. Let's read this. And I didn't include Peter's. I thought I did, but we'll look that one up. Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So what's this specifically talking about?
Christians.
The church. The people of God together. Okay. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now citizens. And this is, he's talking to Gentiles here. So he's saying, now all these people are together as one church. Yay! No out court of the Gentiles, no divisions among what Jews and Gentiles and how they're separated. We're all one people. This is a yay moment. Verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So here is his, we're moving on to a new covenant where the apostles and the prophets, a new temple almost, if you will, is being built. Christ himself being the cornerstone, the stone that sets everything in order and everything right, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are being built together into a
dwelling place.
There it is. That's what the temple was, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So here we see Paul trying to say, remember that temple that we talked about? Well, it's you now. The church is now the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. This is a massive, massive point that it's hard to just cut into a 10-minute section of Sunday school. But we need to know that the worship that takes place is within the church now. When Paul says, or to bring a sacrifice of praise, that's the author of Hebrews. He says, we bring a sacrifice of praise. That's why We are the temple. We are bringing a sacrifice of praise. We are the dwelling place of God. We are the place where heaven meets earth. We're the place where the Lord reveals himself and demonstrates himself. We are the people of God. There's a passage in Peter. Let's go to that one. It talks about us being living stones.
And doesn't he call us a royal priesthood, offer spiritual sacrifices?
He does. He does. That's chapter 2. And we can read right at the end of that. It goes into that, Jeff. So can y'all read that? Is that big enough?
Yeah.
Verse 4, as you come to him, a living, this is Jesus, a living stone, Jesus, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living what?
Stones
are being built up as a spiritual house. There it is. To be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, like Jeff said, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you're not a people, now you are God's people. So this is new covenant speak again. You are the new dwelling place of God. You are now the place where God, where heaven meets earth, where God meets his people. It's the church now, not a building. Remember Jesus in John chapter 4? Who did he meet with in John chapter 4? The woman at the well. And what did he tell the woman at the well?
That we all come to a place of worship.
Well, she's going to keep being thirsty if she just draws water.
That's right.
Jesus will be the living water.
That's right. That's right. He did tell her that. And remember, her question for him was, verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem, in your temple, is the place where worship ought to, where people ought to worship. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Okay? It's not going to be here. It's not going to be in a place. But it's going to be, verse 23, but the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So it's not a place, but it's how we worship. God is spirit. Those who worship him worship in spirit and in truth. And that, so all this to say, the temple is now not a place, but is a people. And everybody, every Christian would believe that. Every Christian would affirm that now we are the place. Now remember, when Jesus was walking out of the temple that last time, Matthew 24, Luke 21, when he's walking out, Jesus said it's going to be destroyed. It's coming. And so he's foreshadowed it, and it hasn't been rebuilt since.
But also that, got a passage in 2 Corinthians 6 that calls us temple of the living God, and it quotes the Old Testament as well.
Let's read that one. I didn't remember that one. What verse?
Around verse 14.
14? Ah, temple of the living God. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Oh, that's right. Yeah. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Where is that from? Jeremiah?
Leviticus.
Wow. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be your father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. All right? So there, temple of the living God, we are the temple. With all that said, then what we need to understand is the temple is the place where heaven and earth meet. I think that's the best way to put it. I think that's good.
Let me ask the question.
Yeah.
Decrying that we're going to be that we're going to be the temple, why is it necessary for another temple to be rebuilt? Wouldn't that be he's rebuilding his temple based on his followers, his people, not necessarily a brick and mortar?
Yes. I mean, that's what I believe. I believe that the temple is, the old covenant temple is not coming back. That's just what I believe. My opinion is, this is the fulfillment.
I'm not a scholar here, right. But I mean, yeah. I seem to be getting that from the scriptures.
Yeah.
That he's, all these scriptures are leading up to the people that make up the body of the church are now the temple.
I think your debate is not with people in this room.
No, I'm just asking.
So there are people waiting on a new temple to be built?
Yes.
Other than Jews? Yes. Like Christians?
Well, it depends on what you call
true. Because
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Other teachers there is that the Antichrist is the one to build the temple, not the true people of God.
There are a lot of, like I say, there are different understandings, and I'm not saying one is right over the other. I'm saying my understanding is that the old covenant, in a because it has been fulfilled, that it's over. It's not coming back. There are some folks who believe that, and the reason they believe the new temple is coming back is because they believe that this measuring says that it will be there, and that God is not finished with the Jews. That the old covenant is not finished, and so therefore he's going to, if you will, resurrect the old covenant and bring back all of the old covenant systems in order to finish his plan with the Jews. My understanding of scripture is that that is finished, and that it was they were all shadows, as the scripture would say, but using the biblical word, they were shadows of the things that are now here.
So people think the old covenant
is going to come back one day.
The rituals and all that?
Yes. Yes, it's going to come back one day because God is not finished with the Jewish people.
What do they do with all the scriptures that say the old is past?
They don't follow New Testament.
Yeah.
Well,
they only follow the first five books of the Bible, and that's it, and the hardcore Jews. They don't believe in the rest of the
world. Yeah, but some Christians.
So here's the difference. I'll just give you the real quick, brief overview. Some believe and there are some passages that point to this. So there are some reasons why. I'm saying people who believe this stuff are crazy. That it's just different. Okay. That God is not finished with the Jews, goes along in line with people who say that the church is going to be raptured out. The world's still going to be here, and it's that point when the Christians are gone that the Lord is going to reestablish Judaism in order to finish his work with the Jews. And this work of the church is just an in-between thing.
Okay.
So that's their understanding as to why. And then once the temple is rebuilt, there's going to be other people that are going to come to the Lord through the Jewish system. That's my understanding of it.
But wouldn't this measuring rod be referring to a vetting process of the people of the church? So he's basically measuring us against what we really believe?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Right, so I'm glad Stephen brought that. So I'm reading this and I'm not trying to argue. I just really would like some clarification.
No, go ahead.
So it clearly says get up and measure the temple of God and those who worship in it. Leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and not measure it. For it has been given to the Gentiles. They will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. Now, my note says, referring to the temple of God, apparently the temple that will be built during the tribulation, in which Jewish worship will be carried on during the first part of that 7-year period, and in which at the midpoint the man of sin will exalt himself to be worshipped. And if you see that 2 Thessalonians 4, it explains that man of sin.
Yeah.
And how he needs to have a place to fulfill scripture, he would have to have a place where he is going to reign, and that's the temple that they're referring to.
Yes, that commentary is written by folks who the group that believes that the temple is going to be rebuilt. That's that system.
Yeah.
Ideas system.
So what do we do with that if we're on the side, if someone's on the side that they don't think the temple is going to be built? So what do you do with that? interpret that.
But if you read the second Thessalonians, it refers to this lawless man taking a seat in the temple, displaying himself as God.
Yeah.
So this is saying that he would need a temple in which to take a seat in.
Yes.
So maybe it's not referring to a temple for
God's
people, but for
true God.
Most people who believe that the temple's not going to be rebuilt understand that that has already happened.
Okay.
That the lawless man has already taken his seat in the temple. So the temple that existed when that was written was the temple they were talking about.
Okay.
So rather than the people that were written to when the Church of Thessalonica, there was a temple there.
Tribulation that's already happened.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So the temple was actually there during that when that book was written. So the temple that was being talked about for the Church of Thessalonica was the temple that everybody would have understood that to be. Not something that was being rebuilt thousands of years later.
All right, so they're referring to
correct
history and not.
That's correct.
Got it.
So the courtyard part.
Hold on. One other note, though, to say is when and next week we'll look in Ezekiel and Zechariah. In both of those instances, a measuring of the temple does take place. So we're going to see what's going on with that. With that. Next week as well. All right, Stephen?
No, to go on what she's saying is the footnotes here talk about the do not measure the courts outside the temple is they're saying that's the representation of God's people being attacked from outside of his chosen, protected, sealed people. So they're alluding to, again, that it's still more of a play on words, so to speak, not necessarily a literal building that somebody's going to sit in.
And that is, let's read through this, and we will get to some of those ideas, because that's a good point as well.
Because Ezekiel 40 is the same thing.
Now, keep in mind, Ezekiel 40, and this is good, Ezekiel 40 and Zechariah 2, this is after the temple has already been destroyed, and they're measuring the temple. So it's interesting because the temple, and I don't think that what he's talking about here is a roadmap. Some people believe this is the map to rebuild the temple, but it's missing very important details. So it's hard to say that it is. There are no height dimensions and all those measurements. There's no heights and things like that. So
see, I'll tell you, they measured it so they can have a reference to rebuild it. And when their mind was thinking after it was destroyed. But still, it's never happened yet. So.
Yeah. Now, we will look and see that that is one option. We're going to look at some other options and see what are the most feasible options. And then I think you make a good educated decision. David, did you have something?
I was just going to say that. I think we're bringing up way too early. The beast is going to show up in here pretty soon. And then chapter 21 will talk about the bride who will come down.
There's a lot going on here.
It's a lot. I think this is kind of deep. Our pace that we take, we may get there by 2025.
we're gonna get there. Let's go verse by verse. But there are some ideas too. And here's some other things to keep in mind to just throw you to say, in chapter 21, you're alluding to there is a new temple, if you will, that comes down. Mm-hmm. And what is it called? It's this cube area. And what is it called? It's called, and this is very helpful for you, the Bride of Christ.
Yeah, which is the church.
Which is the church. So we just need to be careful and look at all the clues before we make our decisions. So that's what we're going to try to do is go through next week all of the clues, and we'll begin at verse 1 and read through some of these things. But I wanted us primarily this week to say the temple is the place of God, and there's going to be a measuring of this temple and a testing, like Stephen alluded to, this testing or this measuring up of this temple or the measuring up of a people. And there will be people that are inside, and there are people that are going to be outside, which lines up with a lot of other passages of Scripture. So this is going to give us a foundation to help us maybe understand next week some options we have for what is going on here. I told you, chapter 11 is a difficult chapter, so please, let's take our time, let's try to understand and look at different options and make your determinations based on what is plausible, what is tenable.
Not throwing a monkey wrench into it, but you know, with all this tying in with temple, we're being temple, but now we meet here at the church. That's why I keep coming back to Hebrews 10:25, which says, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we got to tie that in, because yeah, we're seeing events unfolding right now in our time. So that's why it's important for us to be gathered, because we should be together like what we're doing now, yeah, to understand,
yeah,
that the day is approaching. You know, judgment is coming, and all these things are starting to tie in now. You know, so
yeah,
I'm not going to be the one to predict, well, it's going to happen another year, but it's all unfolding. You know, yeah, it's been laid out for us. And
let me say this too. I know that you might come this morning and go, well, we talked about the temple and other stuff today. Know that when you get into, there are a lot of things that are important and we need to focus on. And the message this morning, we'll be talking about the internal Christianity and what we're to be like and those sorts of things. But sometimes when you're studying the Bible, it takes time. So I know, don't think, well, I didn't learn anything in class this morning, because what you did learn is going to help you learn next week and next week. And sometimes you don't get a you know, quote unquote, practical message in one class. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 or 5 or 3 months before you really, something goes, okay, now I'm getting it. This is a bigger than a 45 minute deal. I can tell you, I studied for like 6 hours last night, and about hour 4, things started clicking. So I'm just letting y'all know, sometimes it takes time. So please don't get frustrated that maybe you didn't get a lesson to walk out of the room with and share with your neighbor, because sometimes things take time. And this is a book that mature Christians go through. It just takes you time. So I just want to encourage you in that and say, don't give up. We're making progress and we're learning over this period of time. And yes, by 2023, we'll learn something. All right.
Well, we watched the most time change last night. Galvin McLeod, he was trying to send a book into the future around 2026, 2027.
Oh.
I didn't want to go. So
I haven't seen that.
Time change? That's a good movie.
I've heard of it. All right. David, would you mind closing us in prayer, please?
Sure. Lord, I just want to thank you for your words you gave to us. Just pray that we're able to clear our minds and our thoughts and our heart. Just allow that word to grow in us, and not only us, but allow us to speak it to folks that are outside these walls. Lord, we just want to thank you for safe travels that got us here. We want to ask for safe travels to get us home. Lord, we want to pray for Pastor Keith today, just to bring us the word that we're able to share. Lord, we just want to lift up our prayer requests, the ones that are spoken and unspoken. You know what's on our heart, Lord. We just allow that to work in your way. Lord, we just want to do it in honor of your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.